Okay, this morning I'm going to end a series that we have been in since Easter. And we have taken, other than when I've been gone, we have been studying from the book, from one chapter of the Bible, Exodus chapter 14. Today we're going to see the conclusion in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 15. And on decisions in God's will, and we're really talking about decisions in God's will when you're up against the wall, when you're up against the sea and you don't know where to turn, and how then does God work? And God's people were at that place, and so we have studied this in detail, doing a couple, three verses at a time. And so let's just read two verses from, and here, we're going to be on strategy number 10. I'm not going to take time to review all these this morning, but I'm going to talk about number 10 this morning. Don't forget to praise Him. When He breaks through in your life, when He parts the sea, when He makes a way, you don't want to forget to praise Him. So chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Hey, let's just back up. Let's read verses 29. We'll see that verses 29 through 31 are a summation of all of chapter 14, and then the praise comes in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 15. Let's look at verse 29 of chapter 14. It says, "But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and their left. And so the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt, so the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses." Chapter 15, verse 1. "Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, 'I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider He has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him.'" Father, this morning, as we just study Your Word for a few moments, I just pray that You would just bring life into our spirit as we consider this subject of praise, the power of praise this morning. In Your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, as we painted the picture here, there's a couple things I want you to see as we conclude today. And if you missed any of the messages, you can just go online and they're all there and you can just catch up on them. But we talked about how God, several places through chapter 14, he calls them the children of Israel, the children of God. We sang about that this morning, that we in this room, you are God's people. You are the sons and daughters of God. And you have got to believe in your spirit that if you're a son and daughter of God, that just like you would care for your children, that's how much God cares for you. You're His son and daughter. He's going to make a way, just like you would do, bend over backwards. If your children are in a jam, you're going to bend over backwards to do what you can do to help them out. You have got to believe that that same God, it's 7-8 times through chapter 14, He says the children of Israel, the children of God. He's identifying His people this same way, and He identifies you in this same way. You are the children of God. We just sang about it this morning. So they came to this place. It was a place where there was mountains surrounding them. There was a sea in front of them. There was an enemy coming at them. They were in a jam. And God made a way by parting the waters. In that period of time, there was no bridges to go over water. But God made a way by parting the sea. He did it again at the Jordan River when He parted the sea. But here He parted the sea and He made a way for them in an impossible situation. And if you don't get anything, I've taken 10 weeks that you will get in your spirit, no matter what you're facing in life. You say, Pastor Jerry taught us for several weeks that we serve a God who can make a way when the way seems impossible. That will just be embedded in your spirit. And He is never going to part the sea again for you, per se. He's not going to do that same miracle. That was for them. But He can do it in a miraculous way for you in your life. I want you always to remember that. So as we think about when He parted the sea, we've got to keep this last point we've got to gather this morning in decisions. We've got to make a decision, and it's in God's will that you praise Him and not forget to praise Him. So when God made a way for them, let me just get into the nitty-gritty of this and rediscover. Tim, who is Sue's cousin, Tim Mahoney, he has studied probably more on this in the last 17 years than anybody in America on this. He's got a new movie coming out called The Red Sea Miracle. He has done documentary both with scientists, with archaeologists, and we were just in church with him last Sunday. We spent the last weekend with him. And so when I asked him, I said, Tim, tell me about the nature of this miracle. How long was it across? And he's been there. Few people can get into northern Egypt where this happened. 9 miles. When the water parted, it was 9 miles straight across. Okay? I told you that a couple weeks ago on Father's Day. And it was 9 miles that water, it wasn't just a little puddle, that it 9 miles that water parted. And the depth that it parted was 2,500 feet deep, almost a half a mile deep where it parted. That when God did this miracle, it was incredible, and he made a way for them. And so now, let's just think. Let's pick up the story this morning. They come out on the other side. And they're standing, and you met, just put yourself there, what you have just been through. You've been through the consternation on the other side when before the water parted, and you're saying the Pharaoh's army, one of the most powerful armies, is coming at you. You're up against the sea, the mountains around you. What do you do? You've just come through that. God parts the water. You say, hurry, we got to bring our family through. You get to the other side, and you're standing in awe. The water has just closed in. You've got out, and the water's closed on your enemy, and you stand on the other side. And you ever look back and something you've just been through? You go, oh, how do we make it through? And as they're standing on that shore on the other side, I'm sure they just stared for a bit like we would do. What did we just get through? And somebody in the crowd, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Somebody else on the other side, a voice raises, the Lord is my song. Another voice rises, the Lord is my strength. This is the first recorded song in the Bible. It's a song of victory. It's the first song that was ever recorded in verses 1 and 2, and it goes on. It's called Moses' Song. And as I'm sure as the awe moved into singing, and it moved into dancing, and it moved to, yes, we made it. Look what God did. That is the nature of these two verses. Look what God brought us through. Now, praise is a natural God-given response when things go well, and I want to say it, for Christians and non-Christians. You don't even have to be a Christian to have an attitude or respond in praise. Case in point. I was at the Green Bay Bullets, a new baseball team, and they got a new stadium. It used to be the Bullfrogs, and now they got a new little stadium over in Holmgren Way. And so we were there at the game on Friday night. And in this, the game's going on for 9 innings, and the Green Bay Bullets, they were behind. I mean, it was like the first couple batters, they got a run, and then we're behind 1-0, and then it's we're the next inning, we're behind, it's 3-1, and we're behind 2 to 3 runs every inning we're behind 2 to 3 runs, and we're saying, man, are we? I mean, is it time to go? What's going on? Who cares? And I'm ready to go. There's a lot of people there. It was a beautiful night to sit at a baseball game. Isn't life like that? It feels like you're always 2 runs behind. I mean, life just feels that way. We're still behind. We have 7 runs. The Lakeshore Chinooks have 8 runs. There's 2 outs in the bottom of the ninth. We get 1 runner on. I can't remember how he got on. I was talking. And the next guy gets up, 2 outs, bottom of the ninth. And he gets up, and ba-boom, he hits a home run. And the whole place, the whole stadium is, yeah, look at this. And here's the amazing part. It was Christians and non-Christians that were just praising the team and hooping and hollering. My point being, is praise is natural. It's not just something spiritual. It's something God's even given the ability to people who don't even believe in him to do. But this, when God parted the sea and they got to the other shore, it was like the two-run homer in the bottom of the ninth with two outs when God pulled that thing off. And ba-boom, that water opened up and made a way for them. If you ever ask yourself this question, what motivates God to act? I wrote down a few things. Our requests motivate God to act. When we ask God in prayer or we say, God, we need this, and it motivates God to act. Believe it or not, it's biblical, but our complaints motivate God to act. He doesn't like that a whole lot, but he still, when we complain at times, and he still acts on our behalf. Anger. When God sees sin, it says in Romans that he brings vengeance on our enemies and God will act in anger to protect us and protect from sin and all kinds of things. What motivates God? How about praise? Does praise motivate God? I was in sixth grade and I was going to school at Maple School in Seattle, Washington. And so we're out in the playground. And my favorite subject was recess. I loved recess. I was a boy, squirrely, wiggly boy. Chad, you liked recess too, right? Okay, got it. So we divide up into teams, and we're going to play football. And one time, I was like fifth grade. I was playing football with the sixth graders, and it's just like class warfare when you're in those grades, you know. They're big kids, and whoo, they're so big. And I was just a little scrawny fifth grader, and so I said, "Can I play?" They let me play, and so we were losing. And you know how they do? They send the most unsuspecting kid out to go catch a pass at the end, and so the bell's going to ring, we're going to have to go back into school, and they sent me as a fifth grader. All the rest of you sixth graders go on short passes, and let's send Jerry down to the end zone. And I go down, and this African-American kid, he throws the ball to me, and boom, boom, here comes the ball. I catch the ball, and I'm in the end zone, and we score a touchdown, and we win the game. That's not the big deal. It's when I got back, and this African-American sixth grade boy, he said to me, he praised me, and he said, "Hey, you're really good." And it was his praise towards that little act that caused me to go on and play football for 4 years in high school. What I'm saying to you is praise is a powerful motivator. So if requests motivate God, our complaints motivate God, anger motivates God, I want to suggest to you that praise motivates God as well. If God, is God any different than us? We are made in the image of God. If praise motivates us, it seems reasonable that praise motivates God to act on our behalf. So number one this morning is praise motivates God to facilitate victory. That doesn't make sense to the human mind. But in that sense, it does. That we, how are you going to motivate somebody? You can motivate through praise and encouragement. Those of you that manage people, praise is in a powerful way. But it appears biblically that God acts in the same way. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 20. Let me just show you a case in point here. 2 Chronicles 20. I want you to see this in your Bibles. I'm going to give you four scriptures in the few moments I've got that I want you to never forget on the subject of praise. It's not so important that you hear my stories or what I'm talking about. It's most important that you can get these four scriptures in your spirit and you can remember them. Write them down the front of your Bible or something like that, that you keep with you. So here's this story. So three armies are coming up against King Jehoshaphat. He is the king of the southern kingdom. If you look at modern-day Israel, the northern part was called Israel. The southern part was called Judah. Jerusalem was in Judah. And King Jehoshaphat is over the southern kingdom. Three armies are coming at them, and they don't know what to do. Look at verse 12. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. You might be in this room right now facing a situation in your life. You're saying, God, I don't know what to do. But I hope this morning your eyes are on him. So look what happens here. And you dial this into your circumstances, your situations right now. Go down to verse 17. It says, you will not, and so this is the Lord, you will not need to fight in this battle. That doesn't sound too makes a lot of sense. You're not going to need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Go to verse 19. So here's what happens. So he instructs them, stand still. You're going to see me act, but how is God going to act? Watch this. Verse 19. Then the Levites and the children of the Kohites and the children of the Korites stood up to, what did they do? To praise the Lord God of Israel with voices. What does it say in your Bible next? Oh, loud and high, it says. They begin to praise with voices loud and high, okay? So here's what happens. Now go down to verse 21 and 22. And you can read this whole chapter later. I'm just giving you the highlights. Verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before. Now where did they go here? Before the army, right? So what is God sending in front of the battle? He's sending praisers in front of the battle. They go out before the army, not at the trail of the army, not in the middle. He sends the people that are praising out in front of them. Verse 22, or it says, then praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now look at verse 22. Here's the key verse. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. What motivated God to act on their behalf? Praise did. Praise did. Praise motivates God and worked in before the battle, in the midst of it, to facilitate the victory that they experienced. Now, let's go over to Acts chapter 16 a moment. Acts chapter 16. New Testament. And here is another passage. This is the New Testament. And Paul and Silas are in prison. We're at verse 23. Three verses here. It says, verse 23 of Acts 16, it says, and when they had laid many stripes on them, so how many of you know that doesn't feel too good for Paul and Silas? They've just been beaten. They threw them into the prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet to the stocks. He put them in an impossible situation. Verse 25, but at midnight, what did Paul do and Silas? They were praying and they were singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was, now, so they're what are they doing? They're praising and they're praying. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and what does it say? Everyone's chains were loosed. So what preceded, what motivated God to act? Praise motivated God to act. Can I just tell you this morning in this room, if there's something in your life that you're dealing with, can I tell you some problem you're dealing with? You say, God, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise my way through this problem. I'm going to praise my way through the situation. And you say, God, I'm asking you and I'm praising you that you will work on my behalf and see through that situation. Now, I'll tell you the timing of this message a little bit. I got to be honest with you. I was trying to delay this message a little bit, and I had a reason for it. And we had a miracle. I was telling Trey and Heidi, we had a miracle happen a couple years ago, now a year and a half ago. I can't remember the timing. But I'd been in Israel. Sue and I had been in Israel. We come back, and a guy, not even a Christian, called that owned the property across the street and donated a piece of land to us. And we started looking up the value of this land and the eight lots across the street. I mean, that was the largest gift that I had ever been a part of in ministry that he gave to all of us. And he blessed this church with this gift of land. And so I was trying to time this message of praise so that it would happen after that we closed on that thing. We're going to close on that thing Thursday, okay? And we sold it for $80,000. And so Thursday, Andy, blessed realtor Andy back in the back that's doing sound for us this morning. He's facilitating that. And our trustees and myself, we've been all working on that. But I was waiting to praise the Lord, and I was waiting to tell you this message after it was all done. And the city council pushed it from July 2nd meeting till this meeting this Tuesday. But you know what? It's really appropriate for us to praise the Lord now. Before it closes on Thursday, and say, God, you're going to bring this thing in, and you're going to close this deal. Do you see what I'm saying? It's appropriate to praise ahead of time. Amen. Not just after something's happened, because that's what propels God to victory. And isn't God amazing? The gift that he blessed us with, that didn't come from a gift from anybody in this congregation. Somebody who's not even a believer gives us a gift to land. And would you believe, and we had this sold, this is the second time, we had to go through, Nate's a trustee, and we had to go through this thing, and Kirk is, we went through, and Dick, we've worked through this thing for a year. We had it sold, then it fell through, and then we go in the next, this is, and guess when it's going to close? Right in the middle of July, the worst time for church finances. Isn't God so good? Isn't God so good? And we go, delay, 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 delay. But hey, that's, man. So when we praise in a moment to sing a last song, man, let's just say, God, we praise you because you're gonna make that happen. So by virtue of these scriptures I've just given you, we can give a better understanding of praise because it seems to motivate the hand of God to act on our behalf. So these biblical passages, praise preceded victory. But also praise is a right response to victory, and we see that in our text. So a question for you this morning, has God, so number two, Ashley, this morning, praise is the right response of gratefulness. Has God given you a few blessings in your life? A roof over your head, a car to drive, a spouse to marry, children, a job, a few hobbies or toys? How many of you he's given a few victories through trials and troubles in your life? How many of you have done that? He's done that. Yeah. I think we have something little to praise him about. Isaiah 25:1 says this. It says, O Lord, you are my God, and I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. That's the nature of praise. It's an attitude of gratefulness that God, you have done wonderful things. So let me just give you a quick application here for a scripture, Isaiah 61:3. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah 61, and then we'll end with our text, Isaiah 61:3. And here's the nature of this. We all have a choice in life. We can put on, we can all wear an invisible garment of grumbling or an invisible garment of gratefulness. We all have to make a choice. And here it says, and here, let me just, I brought a coat. So this is my winter coat, last thing I want on right now. Okay, so we put a garments, and let's call this the garment of grumbling. It's black, okay? And I like black coats, so it's my winter coat. But let's just call this one the garment of grumbling. It's an invisible coat that we can wear, an invisible garment. Or we can make a choice to say, I'm going to trade this invisible garment of grumbling, and I'm going to put on a little more light and airy garment of praise and of gratefulness. We all have to make this choice every day in our life. Which are we going to carry? Which are we going to wear? And so look at what this says here in Isaiah 61. In verse 1, it says of Isaiah 61, it says this. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is a prophecy about Jesus. So it's facilitated by the Spirit through Jesus. And now look down to verse 3. It says, and amongst these things, it says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. But look at this, the garment of praise for the Spirit of heaviness. God facilitates through Jesus a garment of praise to exchange an attitude of gratefulness from an attitude of grumbling. It's facilitated through praise. He gives that. It's through the Spirit, through Jesus, and we all have to make a choice. So today, can I ask you this morning, which garment are you wearing? Which garment are you wearing? The right, the praise is the right response of gratefulness. And what in despair, in trouble, in heaviness, what are we doing in our spirit? What are we doing in our heart? We're complaining. We're saying, I don't see a way out. I don't see hope. This thing is wrong. That thing is wrong. But when you can turn, he made a pathway through Jesus to turn that grumbling from despair and heaviness into gratefulness, and it becomes praise. And that's what he's facilitated for every one of us through the Spirit of God. And we have to, so I ask you the question, today maybe you're in this room and you need to shed that, and if you begin, it's amazing, if you're in despair, there's something heavy going on in your life, there's trouble that you're dealing with, I want to tell you, if you, in that moment, you'll begin to think about all your blessings, you begin to think about all the times that God's come through, you begin to think about all the good things that he's given, I want to tell you, that despair, that heaviness will break, and the garment of praise and gratefulness, you'll begin to see all the victories, not the trouble that you're dealing with. And it will change your perspective. Lastly is our text that we're at. Just turn back to our text one last time in Exodus 15, and we're done. Exodus 15, and here's how it states. And I put these up on the screen for you. It's a declaration of praise. Look at this. It says in that verse, "The Lord triumphed gloriously for me." I didn't triumph. They didn't triumph. It was what the Lord did gloriously through them. And then look at this declaration that they begin to say on that seashore. The Lord is my strength. The Lord, he is my song. And I like this. The Lord has become my salvation. Now, you think about that in our life. We get saved. We invite Jesus into our heart and life. If you're here this morning, haven't invited Jesus into your heart and life, do that today. Invite him into your life. But here's what they learned. They had a relationship with God, but you will learn if you will serve the Lord a while, he actually becomes your salvation. It's a becoming. You watch the Lord take you through one thing after another, after another, after another, and he becomes your salvation. And then you say this, the Lord is not the children of Israel's God. The Lord isn't the people of God that were in the Bible here in this story. The declaration of praise. When you watch him take you through stuff, you say, God, you are my God. And it's so personal. Sue and I were dealing with an issue, and I had an accountant that stole from one of his clients, and he was messed up. He got caught. He was going to go to prison, and he went back to the office, and he shot himself dead. And my finances are in the middle of that mess, Sue and I's. And he made a mess. I had to go to another accountant, my dad's, and have him straighten stuff out. And I got my amended returns from 2016 and 2017 in the mail yesterday. And when I got them and I saw the mess, oh, I was so blessed to see that God came through. And you know what my reaction? I said, Sue, you would not believe this. He is my God. When they'd taken out way more and given way more to the government than they should have given to. Thank God. He is my God. And it's all in your life, whatever you're dealing with. He is my God. Whatever he comes through for you, it's a declaration of praise. Psalm 98:1 says this, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song." You say, why don't we sing so many new songs? Because it's biblical. Look at this. Ashley, you want to put that up there? Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. See, we sing a lot of new songs because biblically he says sing a lot of new songs. Okay, I got to end with this. Pastor, I am conservative. I'm not too emotional. I don't sing out too loud. Have you ever watched a Packer game? Ba-boom, I just got you. You'll be yelling at the TV. You'll be over at the stadium, And they turn up this big flashing thing on the scoreboard, volume, volume, volume. All they're doing, they're just getting biblical in there. We just need to get a little bit noisier in church. It says they lifted their voices loud and high. That's the way they praised. And don't give me this baloney that we're conservative and we're not emotional and we're not this. And you can't sell me on that garbage. And I want to just tell you, church, I'm not going to let you get away with it. Chris, you have my permission to get on the case in a nice way. And you did this morning. You did good. You said, let's lift our voices. And you guys responded pretty good, but it could have been better. I was tempted to tell Chris, let's sing three songs and do it really, really well. And I want to tell you, if you will do that, people that walk through these doors, they'll go, wow, what's in those people? And here's the thing. It's a signal that you are a grateful people. You are a grateful people, and you're positioning yourselves for God to do victory in your lives. Let's stand together. Now, I want to tell you, next Sunday, we're going to sing a song here before we leave. I don't even know what time it is. We have a special treat next Sunday morning. Pastor Chris and Pastor Josh Pierce is going to be here from Houston. They're going to lead us in worship together. And I know we have band and all this. And Pastor Josh is Pastor Arnie and Jan's son-in-law. He's a phenomenal worship leader. Pastor Chris is a phenomenal worship leader. They're going to lead us in some praise and worship next Sunday, and it's going to be awesome. And we're going to either do by interview or something like that, and they're going to share a little bit on what it means for them to be up there and to talk about praise a little bit. It will be so, so good. So, Chris, what are we singing here to close us out? Hey, great things. Okay, are you guys ready? Okay, no skippers, no sleepers. The scoreboard, volume, volume, volume. It's third down, and we're trying to stop a touchdown, okay? Let's go.